You are watching Game Time Decisions. Maybe you're listening to Game Time Decisions. Either way, it's on the Fantasy Sports Network. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are. Let's do this thing. The countdown to Super Bowl 51 continues, 12 days and counting. We'll be joined by a former Atlanta Falcons standout wide receiver, Brian Finneran. And Brian had the opportunity of playing with Michael Vick in the Vick heyday, and then was there for a couple of years with Matty Ice as well. So we'll get the Falcons perspective. Also a co-host of a morning show right now in Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, he's all over the Super Bowl. Be breaking it down. The professor will join us straight from the strip, Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave Malinsky, pregame.com's Dave Malinsky. Dave writes a daily column called Point Blank. It'll make your sports IQ much higher than it already is. So the professor will join us. We're going to run the gauntlet with Dave. We'll talk about Super Bowl 51. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup, his thoughts on the point spread, his thoughts on the total as well. We'll get his thoughts on some NBA basketball this evening as well. Maybe a little college basketball talk with the professor, the raging redhead Cam Stewart. Wow, the show was already awesome. And the raging redhead Cam Stewart joins me in studio. We're talking golf. We are farmers. We're talking golf. We'll see if Cam's seen a thing or two. Does he know a thing or two? We'll find out. See what he likes for the farmers. We'll get some NHL picks from Cam. Normally, guys, mostly basketball picks for their plays of the day, but I've got four NHL picks tonight, and I'll be disappointed if we don't win three of them. All right? So we'll talk pucks. We'll talk Super Bowl. We'll talk golf. We're talking college basketball, NBA basketball. You'd be hard-pressed to find a show that talks about as many topics in a shortened span like we do. But, of course, it's the calm before the storm right now. Super Bowl 51 is set. The New England Patriots are laying 3 points. The highest total in Super Bowl history is up to 58.5 right now. Now, I've been very successful. The Atlanta Falcons have been very good to me this year. I was an early believer in the Rise Up movement, and I bought in early in the season with the Atlanta Falcons, like week two, week three type of early. By week six, I knew they were for real. By week eight, I identified them as basically this year's version of last year's Carolina Panthers. But with all that being stated, just because I picked the Atlanta Falcons to win the NFC, I didn't pick them to win the Super Bowl, did I? I'm not in a hurry to get in front of Tom Brady right now. And while the opponent in the Super Bowl, is technically the Atlanta Falcons, the New England Patriots are really playing against you at home who hates them. They're playing against the National Football League Shield. They're playing against the commissioner, Roger Goodell. And as a Buffalo Bill fan, it's to the point right now where I'm like, you know what? Yeah, we're aware. They don't do things by the book all the time. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And the fact is, they've just been caught a couple of times. Every team is up to shenanigans when it's all said and done. And is it just me, or do you notice the more you pick on the Patriots, the more it just pisses them off? We're going to take away a draft pick. Yeah, all right, yeah, that really messed them up. Oh, we're going to suspend Tom Brady. He can't be the most valuable player. All we're doing is motivating them even more. We see, in life and sports, they're very, very, they mirror each other, and success is hard to keep. It's easier to accomplish something than it is to repeatedly accomplish something. There's a reason why nobody's ever won 3 Super Bowls in a row, all right? We've seen a National Football League, success breeds contempt. Success breeds laziness. And, the New England Patriots somehow, they get motivated on a yearly basis by the haters. And the fact of the matter is, as explosive as the Atlanta Falcons are, and, the 8th highest scoring offense in NFL history, Matt Ryan, 4th highest quarterback rating in NFL history, the fact of the matter is, the cliche defense wins championships is sometimes overused. Not when it comes to the Super Bowl, it's not. Not when it comes to the Super Bowl. You know what? We've had 50 Super Bowls. The team with the higher ranked defense has won the Super Bowl 31 times. All right? right? That's a pretty good record, isn't it? That's a very good record. So the fact of the matter is, the better defense is 31-19 in the Super Bowl. The New England Patriots have the highest rated scoring defense in the National Football League. They only give up 15 points a game. The Atlanta Falcons have the highest scoring offense in the National Football League, scoring nearly 34 points per game. But what's the difference right there? You know what the difference is? The New England Patriots, their offense is the third ranked offense in the National Football League. The Atlanta Falcons are like the 23rd ranked scoring offense in the National Football League. It's hard to say ever in a matchup against Tom Brady that the other team's offense is actually better. So I'm going to give my final prediction for the Super Bowl. I haven't locked anything in right now, but I'll remind you, similar to Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, just because you dislike them and you're tired of seeing them win doesn't mean they're going to lose. And from where I'm sitting right now, the New England Patriots -3 actually looks like a pretty freaking fair line, doesn't it? So the countdown is on. Who do you like to win Super Bowl 51? Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenci. The show replays at 5 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports radio networks and 5:30 on the television side of things. And, of course, the Fantasy Sports Network available on every mobile device. And all that new school stuff that I don't really understand. I've got an Xbox, man. I miss the old days of Xbox. When you plugged it in, you stuck the game in. Now, it's like a spaceship. It's like uploading. One cool thing, though, I'm like, wow, Xbox. I was watching NFL films, great classics on Xbox. I don't know how that works, but it works. And evidently, you can watch me on Xbox as well. So freaking do it, you jackass losers. Okay, you know who's not a jackass loser? Brian Finneran. He's going to join us in a couple of minutes. Remember him? Former Atlanta Falcon. Hell of a wide receiver. Big 6'5" wide receiver. 19 career touchdowns, played in a Michael Vick heyday, but was also on the Falcons when Matt Ryan came into the National Football League. Played with Matt for a couple of years, so we'll get a good perspective from the Falcons side of things. He's a radio host in Atlanta now, too. So Finnerman's going to join us. We've got Cam Stewart in studio. Let's send it, without further ado, to Las Vegas, Nevada. Straight to the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. The man that I call a professor, Dave Malinsky, joins us. You can find his daily column over on the front page at pregame.com. Dave, always a pleasure. How you doing?
You know, it's actually kind of a challenging opening because it's one thing for people to have the audio of the Gabe Morenci voice, but now you're challenging them to the video as well, and that video can be frightening to young children, can't it?
Well, you know, I miss the old days when I was just on the radio many years ago, Dave, and when people would meet me, they're like, you don't look like anything that you sound like. They're like, I thought you'd be like a short, fat guy. They're like, you're a tall, skinny guy. And HD doesn't do us any favors either, let me tell you. And the point is, I don't wear makeup either. I think I'm like the only one at this network that doesn't wear makeup. It doesn't help, Dave, so it's pointless, you know? I'm beautiful as it is. That's like that soap commercial. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I should be doing the Dove. I am Gabriel Morenci. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I use Dove.
That's it. You do not disturb natural beauty.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You don't mess with what God made, man. I swear, some people, some TV hosts, you sit next to them, Dave, they look like corpses. They're like dead. They're just caked on with the makeup. My boy, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, who you've met, he's going to join me in studio in a couple of minutes. He looks worse with makeup. He looks like he's a drag queen or something like that. I tell him, Cam, the makeup's not helping, all right? Just, you know, back off the makeup. But that's another point. You know, Dave, hard-hitting news here. Bookmaker just released some props. Will Lady Gaga say the words Donald Trump Trump during her performance at all, would call her Gatorade. And here's an interesting one, Dave. Will Lady Gaga have a wardrobe malfunction? It's plus 1,500, yes. The last time the Super Bowl was in Houston, Texas, Janet Jackson had the wardrobe malfunction. At 15 to 1, Dave, I don't know, man. Lady Gaga might pull an old school nip slip tribute to Janet Jackson.
Well, here's the problem, and we're going to tell people this a lot the next 2 weeks. Be very careful of the wording of the props for the grading, because if you've seen Lady Gaga live a lot, how could you qualify what's a malfunction and what isn't in terms of wardrobe?
I said yesterday, Dave, if she really wants to shock us, she should just show up with clothes on.
Yeah, a pair of jeans and a sweatshirt. That would be the shock.
Yeah, that's 5,000 to one odds, you know, that plus 5,000 that she shows up and attracts it. But it is a good point, Dave, and people always say that, but every year, Dave, and you've been doing this longer than I have even, but every damn year, there is a Super Bowl prop controversy, isn't there?
They managed to find their way out there because, again, it's fine print that really matters. And I tell you what, I'll give you a quick story, which I think is one of the worst sports bad beats of all time, but it shows how you need to be careful and understand the wording. 2001 NFC Championship game. Good friend of mine was convinced that the Giant defense would shut the Vikings down. So he bet Gary Anderson, the Viking kicker, under, and I think it was under 6 points. Game was a shutout. You could not have made a better bet. You bet Anderson under. The game was a shutout. You had no chance whatsoever to lose. He goes to the window, and he only gets a refund. Thinking, what the heck's going on? The guy didn't score a point. His team got shut out. And now the problem, as it states on all these props, player must play for there to be action. Anderson was the extra point guy. He was a field goal guy. He wasn't the kickoff guy.
So if he would have kicked one extra point, so technically he didn't play. Exactly, he didn't play.
Never got on the field. So the guy made a perfect bet, and he got nothing for it anyway. So be careful with these props, folks.
I remember the Christina Aguilera national anthem. That was like a big, big brouhaha. Because she added a word and it extended, and there was a big, big debate. You and I have talked about this, Dave, too. And to me, still the worst beat in sports, and you've talked about it often, is a Major League Baseball over that gets rained out, that's already cashed. So if they, you know, you bet it over 10.5 in a game, Texas Rangers Indians, and the game's 14-8, but they call the game in the seventh inning, you lose. You don't get paid. Yet the person that bets the side gets paid, Dave. I've never understood that.
There is some real bizarre stuff out there, but here's the rule of thumb for the Super Bowl props. Don't be afraid to bet on anything that the league grades, but be very, very afraid of anything that the book grades. There are going to be a lot of people betting on the over-under for the national anthem because that's become popular. Well, who grades that? Each individual sports book. And if it's close, they're allowed to grade it any way they want.
Good point, Dave. So let's talk about the game itself. The Patriots are laying 3 right now. The total's up to 58.5. Top scoring offense versus the top scoring defense. Falcons score 33.4. What impressed me about the Falcons is they actually scored 32.5 points per game on the road. So it wasn't just, they only score at home at the Georgia Dome. Patriots, number one ranked scoring defense in the NFL at 15.7. On the road away from Foxborough, they gave up 15.8. But the Falcons are 23rd in points allowed. They give up 24.8 points per football game, Dave. And we hear the old adage all the time, the defense wins championships. And while if you're offensively challenged, you're not going to win your division, let alone a Super Bowl. But with that being stated, out of 50 Super Bowls, the team with the higher ranked defense has won 31 of the previous 50 Super Bowls, Dave.
Yeah, we're just getting into a different era, and that when the total on the game is sitting up around that 59 range, you're not talking about a lot of defense in it. But here's something I think for the listeners to really focus in on as we get closer to the game. We talk about number one offense versus number one scoring defense. Atlanta's offense played the number two difficulty of defensive schedules, which means they're even better than their stats. They played good defenses. I mean, you talk about road games at Seattle, at Denver, at Philadelphia, at Carolina, at Tampa. Those are all top 10 defensive teams. But here's the flip side of the Patriots. They played the dead last offensive schedule. Patriots are 18 games into the season now. They still haven't faced one quarterback who is in the top 10 in passer rating this season. That shows you the luck of the draw that defense has had.
Dave, I've compared this Atlanta Falcons team to the fastest show on turf, that Rams team with Kurt Warner and Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and Marshall Faulk, etc. But who did they lose to in the Super Bowl? The New England Patriots. How much does the bye week help or hurt each respective team, Dave? I think it helps Julio Jones. Not that he needs the help, but obviously it helps Julio Jones's foot. He's got three different injuries in one foot. But it also gives Bill Belichick 14 days to prepare for the Atlanta Falcons. And we saw the Falcons respond well coming off the bye week, actually, against Seattle. So I don't want to overreact and say, oh, I don't know how they're going to, their offense is going to continue to keep rolling off a bye week. They did it already. They proved that they can do it. But with that being stated, Dave, how do you think that the bye week helps or hurts each respective coaching staff in preparation?
We know the Patriots are well set for this. They've been through the drill a lot, but it's kind of a little sleeper, though. This is the third Super Bowl in 4 years for Dan Quinn. So even though this is going to be new for a lot of the Atlanta personnel, from the top down, I think he's going to be able to structure this pretty well. So if he can keep his guys calm, and that's a big issue, because you talk about one of the most sophisticated offenses in the NFL with New England. Atlanta's defense has five starters that are in their first or second season, six if you count their nickel packages. So can he have a young team stay calm and composed early against all the different looks that New England's going to throw at them? Gabe, I'll give you a good example of how difficult New England could be to prepare for. They use the formation with a running back, no tight end, and three receivers, 10 plays all season through 17 games prior to Sunday. They use it 19 times just on Sunday alone, which means 19 examples of something Pittsburgh would not have prepared for because it just wasn't out there on the films. New England's going to throw that out to you. So right off the bat, Atlanta's going to see a lot of looks they haven't seen on film. You got to hope the young guys keep their poise and keep their composure.
Dave, we've only got about 4 minutes left. So before we get to the basketball card tonight, quick take on the total.
You know, it's a little bit high from a historical standpoint. We're not accustomed to seeing something at this level, but Atlanta has just been so good. It's a combination of good talent and good tactics, so they can outsmart you and out-execute you. New England's kind of the same way. The inclination is under because the price is so high, but I'm not thrilled with it.
Yeah. And, you know, the second highest total was 57.5 for the Saints and the Colts 7 years ago. 31-17 final score. New Orleans Saints won that football game. All right, Dave, so we'll talk the Super Bowl again next week, and we'll put you in the hot seat for some picks and some props. But with that being stated, let's talk, we'll go quickly, rapid fire through these basketball games. We got the Spurs and the Raptors tonight. Raptors struggling, lost three in a row without DeMar DeRozan tonight as well with a sprained ankle. Spurs beat them by 28 earlier this year. They've absolutely owned them. It's the one team that the Raptors have always had a hard time with, the Spurs. Clippers and Sixers, I was intrigued by the Sixers plus the points tonight, but Joel Embiid is out. We got the Jazz and the Nuggets. Intriguing game. Tough scheduling spot. Jazz played last night against Oklahoma City. And then we got a couple of intriguing back college games I wanted to get your take on. So out of those NBA games, anything catch your eye?
Yeah, there is a concern about, you know, the Raptors had started to fall off before the, you know, they were playing poorly before he got injured. That is a tough guy for them to replace. They just don't, you know, a lot of teams will always have that prototype plug and play. They don't have that. and against San Antonio, which is going to play good, smart basketball. And if anybody ever wants to think NBA clinic, go to last night's San Antonio-Brooklyn game, where Pops was out there without Leonard, without Gasol, without Parker, without Ginobili, and they just played flawlessly. That's what the Raptors are up against tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a tough spot for them as well. I think they need to make a move, actually. All right, so quickly on the way out here, Dave, Marquette, nice big win the other night. Speaking of injuries, Creighton was out without their top scorer. Marquette went in there, man. This Marquette team can run up and down the floor and score, man. They got Villanova tonight. Total, a little low to me, Dave, at 151, 151 and a half. Four of the last five times these two teams have played, it skyrocketed over the number. And we got the Jayhawks on an 18-game win streak getting 3.5. Is this a trap tonight in Morgantown? Quick take on college, Dave.
Yeah, let's talk about Marquette first, because here's one of the rare games where the underdog will try to outrun the favorite. Instead of slowing them down, they'll try to speed it up. Villanova beat Marquette easily at home. I could see them being a little flat, a little vulnerable here. Kansas, 0-3 straight up and against the spread at West Virginia in the three trips with Frank Mason at point guard. It's tough when your point guard is your leading scorer, because West Virginia's presses will take so much of his energy away. I think the Mountaineers get it done.
There's Dave Malinsky. You can read his column over at pregame.com, and I can't wait to start reading some of your Super Bowl angles and history lessons, as well as some props that'll surely be released. When does Cornegay and Miller, like at Westgate and the Golden Nugget, etc., when are the props usually released, Dave? Like Thursday, Friday type thing?
Yeah, one of the bigger social nights, literally, of the entire sports betting year, Thursday night at the Westgate. Jay Cornegay will put up the biggest list of props we're likely to find anywhere. It is a big event. There'll be a heck of a crowd in there. So much of a crowd, I won't show up for it. I'll go over the next morning when it's nice and quiet.
Well, you can do it with your mobile now, too, right, Dave?
Yes, you can.
All right, Dave. It's always a pleasure, sir. I look forward to catching up with you next week.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
All right, so like I said, the props are starting to pop up offshore a bit, but sort of the ridiculous props. Basically, Jay Cornegay, he is the head odds maker at the Westgate in Las Vegas, Nevada, the world's biggest sports book. That's the super contest sports book. But, you know, everyone's going to have props, but he's the prop master. So he's going to make these props. There'll be like 400, 500 of them, and then everybody's going to copy it and paste and adjust. But all those crazy, like LeBron James total points, assist, and rebound prop versus total points scored in the Super Bowl, etc., in the first half and all that stuff, that's all from Cornegay and Sherman over at the Westgate. So Thursday night, which means Friday, we'll have some props to kick the tires on. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network, and the boys behind the camera is really getting me going today. And I love camera two, Drew. He's like, you know, these guys are a little younger. So camera two is Drew. He's like, oh, Brian Finner. And he's like, yeah, I remember him. He's like, Wes Welker, right? I said, yeah, because he's white. He's like Wes Welker. But I know I saw Brian tweeting about this the other day, actually, about white wide receivers. I thought it was funny. When didn't they say, oh, Zach Zenner is the best white running back? And Zenner was supposed to be insulted. He goes, I take that as a compliment. So let's bring in Brian Finner. White, black, green, blue, or anything else in between. He was a standout with the Villanova Wildcats, and in fact, he won the Player of the Year Award, the Walter Payton Award, for the best D2 player. 19 touchdowns in illustrious National Football League career. Now a radio host on 680 in Atlanta. The Fan, Brian Finneran, steps up and in. Brian, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm happy to be a part of the show.
So, well, you know, we were just kidding about this, like the white wide receiver thing, and I saw you tweeting about it as well. It's amazing, isn't it? Like, everyone gets compared, you know, it is, right? There's that, you know, every white wide receiver, he's like Wes Welker or like Julian Edelman. It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
Big time. I was Ed McCaffrey when I was coming out in 98 out of Villanova. That was my guy that compared me to. You got to find the similar guy, same color skin, same color everything. God forbid you look at the athleticism and how they jump and run and catch a football and score touchdowns. Jordy Nelson is trying to buck the trend right now because he's been about as special as he can be at any receiver in the league, you know, the last couple of years. So it's something you have to deal with. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, you're a minority in the locker room. It's just part of it. And you gotta prove to guys you can play the game. And young guys come in from SEC schools or Big Ten schools and think they can try you. And a lot of times, because you're white, it just was part of the deal.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Sylvain Giroard is a guy, fast kid, French kid from Montreal. Played for the Montreal Alouettes. You know, he's training camp type guy, practice roster type guy in the NFL a couple of times, and he was in Cleveland trying out for the Browns. And he was wearing like the Brown spandex and stuff, all right? And this kid's fast as hell, Brian, all right? Like, he's freaking, you know, 4.4 type fast. He's running around. One of the coaches comes up to him after the practice and says, "Oh my, you know, man, you're blazing out there." He takes his helmet off, and the coach is like, "Oh God, you're white." He goes, "I didn't know." He goes, "I didn't realize you were white." And he's like, basically told him to his face, "This changes everything, man." Like,
he's like, "That is funny."
Yeah, I know. I didn't mean this to be the topic, but I just thought it was funny when my boy behind the camera said, "Oh, Finneran was like Wes Welker, right?"
Yeah, it happens. It happens a lot.
All right, so hey, life's pretty good though for you right now, man. The Falcons going to the Super Bowl, Villanova defending champions. Big game tonight against Marquette, but does it get much better than this as far as who you played for?
No, not at all. I had a good run this year. I got to play over to Augusta National and got to call the Villanova championship game with Turner Sports. They invited me down to Houston to do that, and now my Falcons are in the Super Bowl. So the running joke was it was the year of sin, and we've kind of run with it. So we've had a good time, and to see a team that I played for 11 years to become what they are, and a quarterback that's about as special as it gets this season, and Matt Ryan, to see it all come to a head like this and make a run at the Super Bowl and the things they've done in the postseason, it's pretty special. Getting close the Georgia Dome down as well. So it's as good as it gets. You're exactly right.
You know, the prototypical NFL quarterback has changed right now. It's a spread offense league right now, zone option reads. You know, the Brady's not very mobile. Matty Ice not very mobile either, but it's almost a thing of the past. But I remember you had the opportunity to play with an electric quarterback in Michael Vick and then a young Matt Ryan. Now, I remember Matt at Boston College, and I remember him coming into the NFL, and he just looked like an NFL quarterback. Like, you know, like right out of Central Casting, wasn't he, Brian, in the sense that he's just like this. You know, it doesn't seem like that. I don't know. Maybe he's a funny guy in real life, but he just seems like this kid that football is his life. Like, he's just got that glare. No, I'm a football player. You know, you don't see him on Instagram. He ain't going boating with Justin Bieber. You know, he sort of reminds me of Stafford. These kids are sort of, you know, they're all business. But I remember saying years ago when he came into the league, I was on another station, I said, Matt Ryan is a Super Bowl type of guy. This is a franchise type of quarterback. You played with him when he was a rookie. You see where he is now. What can you tell us about Matt Ryan?
He's as special as it gets, and you talk about prototypical type quarterbacks, and I played with Chris Chandler my first year here in Atlanta, and I got the polar opposite in Michael Vick, you know, a little undersized, but the most athletic guy on the football field, regardless of who we were playing, and scramble drill and everything else included, and then right back at the end of my career to another prototypical type guy in Matt Ryan, and just smart, heady, confident. Early in his career as a leader, you know, he had a tough time. He was always a good leader, but he was able to ramp it up as he got older and began to learn how to be a veteran and those type of things. So I was with him his first 3 years where he did all the studying. He understood what he's supposed to do. Like you said, he was dialed in all football during the season. Now, don't get me wrong. Matt loves playing golf and having a beer and yucking it up with the guys. But when he's in football season, he is dialed in and no distractions. But as he grew and started becoming older and get more experience, he started becoming a coach on the field. Mike Mularkey and Mike Smith actually, I think, asked him to be more like that later in his fourth, fifth year in the league. So be more of a coach out there in practice. Get on these guys when they don't do what they're supposed to do. And he started developing that mantra and became a coach on the field as well, like a Brady, like a Breeze, like an Aaron Rodgers. Those kind of guys that dominate the huddle and dominate the game.
Do you think it's a fair comparison? I've been saying that this Falcons offense reminds me of the fastest show on turf with Kurt Warner. And what Kurt Warner, Julio Jones, sort of an Isaac Bruce type, Freeman, sort of a Marshall Faulk type. And I'm not saying these guys are Hall of Famers yet, like those guys are. But with that being stated, very, very similar. I see some Kurt Warner in Matt right now.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think the only issue you have there is some people confuse that with it being a finesse football team, and I would not call the Falcons finesse just because the way they play. They've taken on the mantra of Dan Quinn, the head coach, fast and physical. Dan's a defensive-minded coach, but you watch Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman get downhill with the ball in their hands.
Those guys run angry, man. Yeah, no, they're an angry team. I know. Do you know what they remind me of? Almost like a Floyd Mayweather in their prime. You know what I mean? They're like, bang, bang. Bang, 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 bang. Everything's fast. Okay. Everything's angry, you know?
Big time. Big time. They run with an intent. And a lot of slogans out of Flower and Branch with the Falcons practice and Dan Quinn, but another one was arrive violently, you know, especially for the defensive players. But Mohamed Sanu and Julio Jones and Freeman and Coleman, those guys run with some anger and some violence and some bad intentions when they find guys and get close to the goal line.
So, you know, you mentioned Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn has experience. He's been in Super Bowls before. I believe this is his third Super Bowl in the last 4 years, actually. But great point. Arrive violently. We saw that against Aaron Rodgers. We saw that against Russell Wilson. Sort of, you know, young, fast guys swarm to the ball, make you pay when you get there. But with that being stated, we got five first or second year guys on the defensive side of the football for the Atlanta Falcons. I know they have the talent, but Brian, are they going to be able to handle this Super Bowl thing? Because, you know, I used to be like, whatever, it's a media day, but teams do get caught up in this, and man, Tom Brady goes to so many freaking Super Bowls, it's like a regular season game for this guy.
It really is. It's become amazing. It's become the New England Patriots Invitational. Whoever else wants to show up, they're going to be there. But I think, like you said, with Dan Quinn having been there three out of the last 4 years, understanding what it's all about and what it takes to be successful and how to act and the schedule and everything else, Dan Quinn took their whole bye week when they got a bye week for the playoffs game because they had the 2 seed. He sat down by himself and set up the whole schedule for playoff week, assuming that they were going to try to make it here and be prepared. So I think with Matt Ryan, Dwight Freeney, Julio Jones, and some veteran leadership with those young guys, I think they'll get them in the right direction.
Yeah, Dwight Freeney's a player that no one actually really talks about in this game. I want to have some fun and hit a couple of props with you here, but you know the Texans did a good job getting pressure on Brady. It's easier said than done. The guy gets rid of the ball like 1.7 seconds all the time, but you got to get pressure. The Falcons have been good at getting pressure. Like, you know, the Steelers played a zone and it got picked apart. You know, how do the Falcons try to contain this? And I just had a guest on who was, you know, raised a great point about the Patriots. He said all year they only ran a one running back, three wide receiver set 10 times. They ran it 14 times against the Steelers. So in other words, they ran a formation 14 times that the Steelers haven't seen on tape. That's the evil, diabolical thing that Belichick does, isn't it? He changes things up every damn week.
Yeah, he really does. And he has the linebacker for those guys, Bud Dupree, said after the game early this week, he's like, they caught us off guard. With that tempo and no huddle, and that three wide receiver set, one back set is perfect for no huddle, splitting guys out, because you can still run out of it, and you can also throw the ball out of it. And Tom Brady's so smart, he gets him the right set. So we got our hands full as a Falcon fan and a Falcon guy that knows the team well. They're going to have a tough time dealing with the magician and the know-how and the veteran leadership that both Belichick and Tom Brady have. But I just think if they fly around, take opportunities when they get a chance to hit the quarterback, like Brian Poole, undrafted free agent out of Florida this year, has done the last 2 weeks. He's become a bit of a quarterback killer. He hit both Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers as hard as I've seen quarterbacks be hit in a long time. So take advantage of your opportunities. If you get a tip ball, make an interception. Don't drop picks, and got to get a stop or two and be good in the red zone and just and hope you outscore them. I think that's what you got to do.
Have you made your pick yet? Because yeah, people are asking me. I said if I give it now, you're not going to watch the show for the next 10 days. So I got to give. So I won't put you in the hot seat yet. But have you made a pick yet?
I feel good about my pick, and I feel good about my Falcons.
All right,
right. I'll get the number out there later next week.
You're getting 3 points. Hey, you know, you don't need a three, Brian. You know, the underdogs won 4 of the last 5 Super Bowls outright, with the exception of that game being a pick 'em. All right, so before we get you out of here, let's have some fun with some of these props. Here's a good one. Will Lady Gaga have a wardrobe malfunction? And it's like plus 1,500 to the yes. And you know what, dude? This is the first time the Super Bowl's in Houston since Janet Jackson's Nipplegate. I don't know, man. Yeah. I think there might see some value on this, dude.
plus 1,500. I like my chances there. Plus, she's a little bit crazy, so I gave it a shot.
Yeah, all right. Here's another one, too. Will she say the word Trump during her performance? It's minus 200, no. And I read a report that the NFL asked her, don't say anything about Donald Trump. So, yeah, leads me to believe that she actually might now, then, you know?
Yep, she goes against the norm quite a bit. I don't know if she wants to give him the justification and service for doing that for Trump. So no, she's probably not a big fan of his, so who the hell knows?
Hey, Brian. All right, quickly on the way out here, Marquette Villanova. Marquette, man, these guys can run and gun, man. Nice win against Creighton the other day. You're going to have your hands full tonight, huh?
Yeah, no doubt. Villanova's been playing great. I watched them play Saturday against Providence and won by 10, but it was a bigger win than that. They just up and down the court. That offense and Jay Wright, young point guard and Brunson, and then some veteran leadership with Hart and Chris Jenkins, man. It was, that team's fun to watch. You get a chance to watch those two guys, those two teams tonight. Go ahead and take advantage of it, because what they're doing is pretty special. And could you imagine if they made another run at the Final Four and got a chance to do it again and repeat? That'd be pretty sick.
I tell you what, man, they're flying under the radar, and I think they're a more solid team than UCLA and some of these flashier teams, even at Kentucky. I like what Villanova's bringing to the table, man. Hey, Brian, we got to do this again, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
There's Brian Finneran with us, former Atlanta Falcon, a standout wide receiver. Great wide receiver. Big 6'5" guy going in the end zone there, catching those high passes. Cam Stewart, he wasn't a great end zone guy. He was a good kicker, though. He joins me next. Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. You welcome the Ranger Redhead Cam Stewart into the studio.
Hey,
what's up, Cam?
Hey, Morenci. Like the suit, buddy. Leisure Suit Larry. You got the collar going. Nice interview with Finneran.
That's right. Every girl loves a sharp dress, man.
Wee, wee.
So we got that's on the rotation. They were just playing Loverboy before you came on. Are you guys actually going to play this on the show? Oh, come on.
Camera true.
What are they going to do? Are they going to sue us?
Is that Van Halen?
They're not going to sue us. They'll be happy we're playing their song.
I agree. What do you got for me, Gabe?
I'm buddies with Mike Reno. Me and Mike Reno are tight.
Did I tell you the time, Renzi? I'm up at my cottage in Cottage Country and having a few drinks. Who rolls in? Guy from Honeymoon Suite. He bought a cottage on the lake. Can I get some off sales?
Oh, yeah.
canoeing back with a box of wine.
I got a new girl now.
She's a lot like you.
All right, Cam. So we got some Super Bowl props. Yes. We got to some golf picks and some NHL talk.
Yep.
But as far as the Super Bowl is concerned, the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons, I don't know, Cam. It looks like another New England Patriot victory to me.
I don't know, Gabe. You know me. And the Super Bowl, we tend to like the dogs. I think a lot of people are jumping on the Patriots. I can tell you one thing. If you like Atlanta, wait, because that line's going to go 3.5, 4.5. I'm hoping to get tons and tons of points, and I'm actually going to take the Falcons, Morenci. And I got to admit, even though it's the highest total for a Super Bowl, with those two offenses, you got to believe it's probably going to go over the total this year.
You know, Cam, how about this? The underdog has won 4 of the last 5 Super Bowls outright.
Yep.
And that 5th Super Bowl was a pick'em.
Yep.
So it doesn't count. that doesn't count. And in fact, the underdog has won 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls outright.
I like it, Morenci.
The last time that the favorite won the Super Bowl and covered the point spread.
Green Bay over Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Remember the time we were there? We were at
the Lingerie Bowl.
We were at that bar. We did that morning radio show. Drew Stafford and Stevie Johnson from the Bills were there for that wild weekend we did, and we went absolutely bananas. And Jordy Nelson first touchdown at 14-1, too. That was a great day. Oh, God, that was a great
Stevie Johnson, I remember
him. Remember Stevie Johnson and Drew Stafford? Live from Wegs.
I liked Stevie Johnson. He blamed God for dropping passes.
He was a good Bill, though.
Yeah, he was. Actually,
man, he put up some good numbers in Buffalo.
Was. All right, so here's an interesting one. Will Joe Buck or Troy Aikman reference the game's odds during a broadcast?
No. They will not.
I don't think they will either.
Every time I see Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, I get a weird feeling, like these guys in front of the fireplace when they're doing their hits. It's weird. It's like Joe Buck has a thing for Troy Aikman. Very, very odd.
It's like Joe Buck has a thing for everybody, but...
I didn't think we were going down that road.
Anyway.
But that being said, I wish we had time. You guys in the booth would be quicker if we were able to do this. But all kidding aside, I never realized that I saw a picture side to side how much Troy Aikman and Jay-Z look the same. No, it's really crazy. No, they have the same mouth and little cheek thing. Tomorrow's show, I'm going to compare. I'll do this on Unfiltered. I swear to God, I didn't make this up. People are blown away. They're like, I can't believe I never noticed this before.
One of my favorites. You got to bring back Dead Ringers, Marenzi.
That was Dead Ringers.
It was a classic.
Right. You used to be a Dead Ringer for Tom Cable.
Not anymore.
Cable's all freaked out, man. Like, I don't know. Cable looks like a guy that's doing too much blow, steroids.
And hydroxycut.
Like, he's punching coaches in the face. He's strangling girlfriends and stuff. Cable's gone loco.
No, he's thin now, too. I know. We used to be
even San Francisco, it's like, don't hire this guy.
No, you can't hire Tom Cable. That's a bad hire. No, that's true. That guy's, I don't know what's up with Tom Cable. He just looks meaner and angrier. It's weird. No, right. And he's not jolly like the Santa Claus anymore.
All right. You don't think he's going to mention a point spread?
Huh? Nope, I don't think
he will.
Here's
a good one. Well, Joe Buck or Troy Aikman mentioned that Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round.
Yes.
I say yes, too.
Yes.
Minus two of that. Sixth round draft pick has just won
his
first Super Bowl. Come on. There's a couple other good ones.
What about the wardrobe malfunction?
Yeah, wardrobe malfunctions plus 1,500.
I actually like it because you talked about the anniversary, Janet Jackson. Knowing Lady Gaga, this chick's out there, so you never know what she's going to do. She might just go, hey, let's party. Like, and you'll pull 15-1. It sounds pretty good to me.
Here's an interesting one. Will somebody enter the field of play illegally? Yes, plus 1,500. See, this is the type of bet that we could affect. Because, we could actually run on the field. You could go to the game, run on the field. But the problem is, you can only bet $250 max on this prop. So...
it's like wrestling bets. They're circled.
Running on the field at the Super Bowl in 2017 probably cost you about $48,000.
What I mean? And time in the clink.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Like, in the old days, it was $500 and a punch in the face in the parking lot. You know what I mean?
But we know guys who ran on when
the
days
won. Yeah, it
used
to be, hey, jackass, you get a couple elbows and you get tossed out the back door.
Not anymore.
Now, you know, especially with Donald Trump insurance.
Oh, you're doing hard time.
You get waterboarded. How dare you interrupt my first Super Bowl? You'd be saying, you'd be charged with, terrorism and stuff.
For sure.
He was going to blow the field up.
Who's going to post your bail? No, that's scary times. Yeah. You might actually go to jail and, be there for a while.
Remember the old days, though? The chicks with the big rack would run on, Golden Palace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who was that? Was it Garbed? The Kissing Bandit?
With Morgana.
Yeah, Morgana. That's
remember
right.
Nolan Ryan was the best. He kissed her.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Okay. Golf.
Great tournament.
Farmers.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for us?
I got a lot, Marenzi.
Tiger Woods comes back. I see Tiger's 33-1.
Yep.
This guy hasn't played in a PGA event in 19 months.
Yeah, camera two over there is
33-1.
Yeah, he goes,
is it 33-1 that he doesn't get injured in the first round?
Or shoot an 80.
Really, Tiger Woods 33-1 to do what? To have sex with a porn star in the clubhouse?
To pick up chicks at the IHOP? No problem, Marenzi.
To crash his car into a tree?
At Stuart Marenzi Sportsbook, what would you have Tiger Woods odds at? I'm thinking 100.
150-1.
Yeah, I'm thinking at least 100. 100, 125-1.
And you know what? I posted it 150, 200-1, and all these suckers and losers like Cameron 2 Drew would be reeled right in. They'd be betting, Tiger Woods 150-1, eh?
The thing is, he's 33 and Phil Mickelson's 35. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Tiger Woods at 33-1? Actually, I want to take all bets from camera one, two, the cam. I don't even think he's going to make the cut. So if there's any takers,
about Phil Mickelson, though.
He doesn't play well here.
This guy lives on this freaking course, and he sucks here. How is this possible?
I don't know how it's possible. Jason Day, the
He
favorite.
Literally lives on the golf course.
He lives a lot of places, though, Marenzi. Phil Mickelson, he can do what he wants.
Phil's my favorite golfer on the tour.
Really?
He's a sports bat.
Yeah,
there's other guys who chuck.
Hey, Phil Mickelson, he paid for Dick Butkus' kids to go to university.
I appreciate that.
And they didn't even know each other. Dick Butkus on my radio show, he goes, Phil Mickelson told me not to tell this story, but Phil Mickelson and I never even met. And Phil watched a documentary on Dick Butkus and how Dick was broke. And Phil Mickelson called him and said, I'm going to pay for your two kids' university. That's Phil Mickelson.
And American schools are expensive, man. It's like $100,000.
All right. So who do you got?
I got a lot of things, Morency. I'm going to go
90 seconds.
Turn to the cam. Hideki Matsuyama, 14-1. Jason Day is the favorite at 9-1 with Dustin Johnson. Watch out for Hideki, one of the world's hottest players. We also love Brooks Koepka, 25-1. You got to bomb it at Torrey Pines South, almost 7,700 yards. We love it. Gary Woodland, watch out for him this year, 40-1. This guy's a top 10 machine. JB Holmes, another big hitter at 45-1. Martin Laird, the Scot, 66-1. He fits this course really well. Jamie Lovemark, disappointing for fantasy players last week. I like him to rebound at 70. My mini bomb, Danny Lee, 125-1. And the super bomb, Bud Cauley, 175-1. Blow it up, Bud.
I'll be Frankie favorite this week. Jason Day wins the Farmers, 9-1. Won in 2015, finished 12th in Hawaii last week. Wins this week. Cam, NHL hockey tonight.
I love NHL hockey tonight. I got two pooches for you. I know this is dangerous grounds, Morency, but I'm going with the Devils, the New Jersey Devils. We got Zadkov in net for the Kings, plus 105. And the suddenly hot New York Islanders are playing better, plus 115 against CBJ, revenge factor. Those are two pooches I like.
You know who's not hot? The Tampa Bay Lightning. No, These guys are terrible. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. They can't score goals. They're only averaging 1.98 goals per game. Chicago wins tonight. And how about a scorching Minnesota Wild, 19-3-2 in the last 24 hockey games.
Wild Stars game. I like the over in that hockey game, 5.5.
What's the deal with Sagan? I hear he's sick tonight.
Yeah, questionable with the flu.
Yeah, all right. So I got a ton of hockey picks, some pooches, too. Why the Bruins minus 200 against anybody?
I think the Red Wings got their third string goaltender net, but I would not lay 200 with Boston. They're horrible.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The same thing with the Penguins. They should win, but it's a pretty big number.
Actually, I like them in reg.
We'll come back with our plays of the day. Next. All right, we had a great night last night. Hopefully we can keep it rolling this evening. Let's start off in the National Basketball Association. T-Wolves and Suns. I like the over, 214 points in this basketball game. If you guys have noticed, man, we've basically been taking the Denver Nuggets every night for the last 2 weeks or so, and I'm taking them tonight. Tough spot. Utah are a good team, but they played last night. Denver did not. Nuggets at home, minus 140 on the money line. College basketball feels like I'm walking right into a damn trap, but I'm going to take the Kansas State Jayhawks plus 3.5 at West Virginia. I like Michigan State plus 2.5 on their home court against Purdue. Villanova and Marquette. I watched Marquette play on Saturday. I watched Villanova play on Saturday. These two teams can both get after it, especially Marquette. This game goes over the number. Four of the last five times these two teams have played, it's gone over the number. And I got some hockey picks for you tonight. Minnesota Wild are scorching right now, man. Dallas Stars are probably going to be without Sagan. Give me the Wild. Lightning and Blackhawks. Lightning suck, man. Right? These guys have lost... they're losing every night, basically. They can't score goals. Give me the Blackhawks. And a couple of pooches. Bet small on them. One of them wins, we make money. Red Wings plus 185. Blues plus 175. May the winners be yours.